This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And we're just looking ahead now a couple of weeks in advance because November 2nd is a highly anticipated date. Parliament is scheduled to reconvene. But with that said, some members of the media and others aren't happy. And that is because Parliament's Corporate Communications Unit has announced that only 15 news outlets are allowed to cover the upcoming session on ground. And they cited COVID-19 as a concern, and they said it aligns with SOPs by the National Security Council. So this has disappointed many, of course, the media, but others as well. So Kluang MP Wong Shu-Chi has called the policy atrocious and regressive, especially since the next sitting will include the tabling of Budget 2021. The Centre for Independent Journalism has also asked for the restrictions to be lifted because news portals need the space to scrutinise lawmakers. To that, they've suggested ways to address COVID-19 concerns, which includes capping the number of media personnel from each outlet versus the number of news portals, and to enforce necessary SOPs like temperature checking and wearing masks, as well as to provide hand sanitizers. So for people who've not heard the segment before, usually at 5 o'clock during whatever sitting of Parliament is in session, here on the Evening Edition, we have a segment called Popek Popek Parliament, which usually involves sending a reporter on site, sitting there, you know, watching the tabling of whatever it is that's on the agenda that day, and also being a part of usually doorstops, but since COVID-19, you know, we're not encouraging, I suppose, the media to huddle around people anymore the way that it previously was. But still, there are press conferences, there are announcements, there are all sorts of things that are happening on site on Parliament on the day. There are lots of things that need covering, and that it's also kind of been our pleasure and privilege to bring you the actual audio of that, because I think you can discern a lot about what somebody is saying and what they mean by it often through actually hearing the tone. We're not part of the 15 outlets that have been approved for now. And the reason, like we said, that's been given has been COVID-19, SOPs, health and safety. So we are waiting to hear what comes of that. But it is one of those things where, especially because the next sitting does include Budget 2021, and that is of so much importance to the nation, I think, you know, it would be great if we could have wider coverage of it, if you could have more people on the ground representing the media, being able to ask questions. So where it stands at the moment, at least for us, is that we're waiting to hear back. But this is where it is, you know, officially speaking, 15 media outlets are going to be present. So we thought we wanted to look at how this impacts the way we talk and think about Parliament, the way we talk and think about journalism and its role it plays in fostering public conversations. And for that, we're going to be speaking after this with Wachila Naidu, who is the Executive Director at the Centre for Independent Journalism, or CIJ. If you have any thoughts or questions on this, on the, the cap that has been placed on how many media outlets can cover Parliament on site, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. As mentioned, we're talking now about Parliament and more specifically media coverage in Parliament, because its Corporate Communications Unit has announced that only 15 news outlets are going to be allowed to cover the upcoming session on site. And this upcoming session also will include the tabling of Budget 2021. So it is going to be pretty important. It's also quite a long sitting. So we just wanted to look at what this means. And if you have any questions or thoughts on this limitation, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Wachila Naidu, who is the Executive Director at the Centre for Independent Journalism, that's CIJ. Wachila, thank you so much for being on the show. What was your initial reaction to this announcement from Parliament?
I think as the Centre for Independent Journalism, CIJ, we were very disappointed because this is clearly a move to restrict media's coverage and the coverage of a very important proceedings that's going to be limited to 15 media agencies. And definitely it's going to be unfair and it's really unequal in the way it's been determined.
So on that, right, what do you think might have determined the selection of the outlets and what might be possible reasons that online news portals, for instance, were sidelined?
And any response I give to you would be really speculative in nature.
Yes.
But it's a really important thing because we have the same question to pose to our state. Yeah, how did they determine which media should be allowed to cover the proceedings? And if we unpackage it further, you know, why were online news portals sidelined? And then we have more questions to ask. I mean, in any measures to come up with a criteria, surely there would have been consideration of making sure that it's not discriminatory and it covers the diversity and it's also representative of all media. Now, rather than ask the question, not just focusing on the question about what criteria was applied, it's also more important to ask why did they have to come up with this kind of determination of limiting the number of media rather than considering different ways that they could adopt in ensuring equal access to all media. I mean, it's about time. I mean, why hasn't the state thought outside the box? Why has the immediate response been to, you know, discriminate and limit access?
Mm. And we'll come back to that in just a bit. But I also wanted to throw it back to something you said earlier, which was the importance of coverage, right? What happens when only specific outlets are allowed to cover Parliament? And is that especially important in this sitting, considering it does include the tabling of the budget?
Yeah, exactly. Not just even before we go into the discussion about this Parliament sitting, yeah, in any given circumstances, there has to be a recognition of the diversity and plurality of media, right, that promotes independence of the media. So in this particular scenario, circumstances where it's all the more important because it's Parliament sitting, and it's a Parliament sitting that's going to be debating our budget for next year. And then you add the layer of the fact that we are undergoing a public health crisis like the COVID pandemic. That means there needs to be more scrutiny of what's really happening in Parliament, and the media should be given access to all the debates firsthand. And, you know, it's noted, of course, there would be live proceedings, right? But when it's limited to certain media, then the diversity of how the news is being presented gets impacted. Yeah, one. Second thing is also limiting the narrative. It's only 15 of these media which would have access to additional interviews. So you know how important it is. The media's presence there is not just to listen to everything that's being debated, right? But it's also to use that space to get access to all the different interviews. There would also be press conferences, right? So all the media who are not given these access would then be missing out on these opportunities. Now, the impact is not just on the media. The impact is largely also on the public. How are we getting the information? Are the channels of information now being restricted? And does that mean that we do not have diversity or nuanced interpretation of information that is being channeled to us as public?
And let's, kind of hone in on that point about nuance. Why is nuance and tone important when it comes to reporting on the ground?
So the role of media in terms of responsible reporting is to make sure that it's neutral, balanced reporting. Yeah, but the nuances are important because if you miss the nuances, then the way you are interpreting the message gets impacted as well. Now, it's not just the nuances and tones, right? But it's also the observations. You're observing how information is being channeled, not just through the debates, but also, as I said, through the additional interview opportunities that you will have. So if you're not catching these through the nuances and tones through the additional interviews, the media would then have to rely on information that's coming through, say, the live proceedings or through the other media outlets. And it's a secondary information. You don't get the first level of engagement that's necessary to be able to report in a very neutral, balanced way.
And how much does the public stand to lose from a rule like this?
Diversity, yeah, the plurality of the different media networks, because we also have to understand, right, the more variety of media that's there, the more diverse they are there, they have to make sure that they are very, very responsible in the way they report, because there are other media outlets as well, right? But on top of that, as public, you know, we look at different sources of news. So what's happening now is we are also going to be limited in the way we access this information and news. We will be channeled to these outlets only, which may not necessarily be our own mainstream or primary sources of news. That's one thing, right? The second thing is the principle of the entire proceedings. This is a parliamentary sitting where we hold our own government or elected representatives to account, right? Now, if only certain media is able to report on the actions of these elected representatives, we don't get the diversity of information, and that's going to impact us in terms of our own decision making, because we don't have the right to information, right? That's going to be timely and reliable, because it's going to be just limited to a certain number of outlets. Now, this is not, at any given time, it's already important, but at the layer of COVID, and at the fact that we are still undergoing political turmoil, so all the more reason why there's so much of attention to what is being debated in Parliament. And we definitely stand to lose out if we don't have access to everything that's happening there through a more independent process. So the focus is also on the independence of media. If you are selecting these media, does that mean that you're also holding these media to some kind of ransom to say, hey, that if you don't conform to what we expect from you, the next round, you know, you might not be given that space or that access. So there are many, many nuances to these kinds of decisions.
And has it become more common recently to limit media access for news coverage?
This is actually, sad to say, it's actually increasing. We have really observed a shrinking of spaces for media to report independently. And this we are seeing in the last few months in itself, right? Often the denial or restriction of access is made on the basis of COVID-19. Yeah, we have seen instances in the last few months where access to certain press conferences by ministers, especially those providing COVID-19 related updates, already been limited to just a few official media. And notably, we see this, of course, through the updates given by the senior minister for security, Ismail Sabri Yaakob, right? And then we've also seen instances where at the 18th May, one-day parliament sitting, media access was again restricted to only state-owned media, which were primarily RTM and Bernama, and other reporters from the other media organizations could only watch the live proceedings. Of course, there were instances in the May Malacca and Perak State Assembly sittings where only official media were given access. I mean, these are just to name a few. And then we also saw the situation in Sabah where the Election Commission reportedly barred non-official media from entering all the nomination centres which were used for the Sabah state elections. And access was only given to RTM, Bernama or FINAS. Yeah. So, I mean, it shows that fact that there is already a trend. What is highly disappointing is the fact that the reasoning or the rationale that's being given to justify this trend is on the basis of COVID-19 mitigation. Now, we have always, as CIJ, we have always said that the state should not use COVID-19 as a justification to undermine media freedom. You know, and again, in this instance, we really call on the state to think be outside the box. Surely there are other ways they could have enhanced the participation of media in this process by creating a better enabling condition for media to operate. Don't let the first instinct be to just, you know, cut down access.
So in closing then, what alternative arrangements would CIJ advocate for?
There are several things that the state could actually adopt, right? But they need to adopt this within a kind of a mindset that is responsible and progressive. First thing is the cap that should be placed should not be on limiting the number of media outlets, but they could place a cap on the maximum number of staff from each media organization that could be present. So, for example, each media agency or news agency could send in, say, one journalist and a reporter or videographer. That could be one thing that they could do. Second thing is, space is actually, you know, not really an issue. There are a number of unoccupied rooms within the main premises in itself, which could be converted into media rooms. You know, that could then ensure that more people can be accommodated. And in fact, they could have more dedicated rooms for press conferences to take place that will give them the space, you know, to adopt the necessary social distancing. Now, the third thing that could be done, and obviously there's already an SOP, right? But it's important to ensure that the SOP is implemented across board. So that means make masks mandatory at all times, yeah, and make sure that proper temperature taking facilities are all in place and in working order. Hand sanitizer stations must be installed, and frequent disinfecting of specific high traffic areas must also be promoted, right, or implemented. Then the most important thing is that the state can actually even consider establishing a fund to cover the cost of the COVID-19 swab test. And I say this because one of the requirements for the 15 agencies that the state had limited was to ensure that they have done the swab test, the RT-PCR swab test, and to show the results, right? But sometimes this might not be affordable for certain media organizations. So a progressive measure that the state can adopt will be to consider establishing a fund where media organizations or agencies that cannot afford it can access this fund. The other thing, and this is really geared towards promoting a safe environment, is to suspend all social functions or events within the premises to really minimize the risk to media and others. I think the key here is to create a safe environment, right, for media to operate by considering different measures that could be adopted, rather than trying to say that limiting numbers is going to, you know, create that safety net. There is no guarantee that by just limiting it to 15 media agencies that they would have a kind of safe and enabling environment. No, there has to be measures that has to be, you know, really cutting across the numbers, as well as making sure that social distancing takes place and all SOPs are in place.
Watchla, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Watchla Naidu, Executive Director at CIJ, the Centre for Independent Journalism, talking to us about the limit of agencies that's being allowed to cover Parliament on site in the next sitting. So there will only be 15 media companies or 15 news outlets that will be present, unlike the usual amount. And as mentioned earlier, BFM, so far at least, is not among them. We are applying and seeing what we can do in that regard. But if you have any thoughts on this, on the fact that there is going to be a limit for on-site coverage for a sitting that does include the tabling of Budget 2021, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.